chirps from your sleepy wings for winter's heading round. Pack up the nest, leave the rest, we're gonna be alright. I'll be chasing the summer, I'm a boxcar runner, gonna be alright. I'll be home. Wherever you roam, no matter how far, wherever you go, remember that's where you are.
Good morning and welcome to episode 243 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Lots of great basketball going on. Some upsets here in Germany, and obviously some big games coming up in EuroLeague, NBA playoffs, whatnot. So basically, whatever suits your fancy, plenty of stuff to watch. Before we get too far into the show, which I think is going to be kind of a short one today, let's just let you know how you can get in contact with us. The easiest way is probably on Twitter. You can catch me at Hein News. HEINNEWS. There's the website, heinnews.com. There is the Facebook group. Just put in Taking the Charge podcast in the search bar, and you can join the community there. Go to iTunes, rate, review the show. You can sponsor the show, show your love, and commit a small financial donation, if you will, to the show. Go to patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word. Thank you to those who have done that. It's amazing to have the support and to have people willing to give the show their hard earned money. So. If you enjoy the show, if you appreciate the show, I would definitely love to have some support in that regard. Again, patreon.com/takingthecharge. Okay, so email address is heinnews@gmx.de. All right, so this week I'm in Regensburg. Next week I'll actually be in Istanbul for the show. I will be there. Start for the getting ready for the Adidas Next Generation tournament, which I think I'll preview next week, and then so kind of leave that towards next week, and probably even talk a little bit more about the Final Four, the EuroLeague Final Four as well. I'll save that for next week, and basically. You know, I just wanted to, you know, make a quick comment about the NBA playoffs. You know, in my eyes, it's going to be Golden State and Cleveland, and it's not really going to be a very challenging semifinals. Although I think the Eastern Conference Finals might be a little more challenging. Especially if it's Washington, I think that Boston will have a little more trouble with Boston would have a little more trouble with Cleveland, but I think Washington would be a really fun battle, and kind of hoping that's it. Sorry for those Boston fans out there among them, Vince. But yeah, I think Washington kind of will give them a little more of a challenge, but I don't think it'll be, maybe six, in my eyes that LeBron's losing four games. So then the finals, Golden State and Cleveland, that's must see TV. And so I'm going to, I might watch some of the Washington Cleveland, if that's what it is. I don't think I'll really watch the Boston watch if it's Boston. We'll see. But if it's Washington and Cleveland, I might take in a little bit of that, but only if I, you know, happen to be awake. But finals, absolute must-see TV, and I'm waking up in the middle of the night to watch those games. Luckily, you know, with the West, with Golden State being on the West Coast, that's a little bit later that I don't have to worry that much about. And another reason is that the Golden State and Golden State and Cleveland are both going to be totally rested. You know, you look at the Spurs. You know, if the Spurs are able to knock off, finish off Houston, obviously they have the injuries that they're battling, and you know they needed to go to six to beat Memphis. They need to go at least six, maybe even the seven, to go to against Houston. Houston did knock off Oklahoma State in five, but you know it's going to be a tough six or seven game series for either Houston or San Antonio. And you look at the other side, you know, both Washington and Boston needed six to get to the conference semifinals, and then it's going to take at least six now for either Boston or Washington to make it to the conference finals. You know, definitely you could see that going seven games as well. And meanwhile, Cleveland's just been kicking back, relaxing, and just watching and you know, coming up with ways to beat both of these teams, and you know, hoping to go undefeated or whatever, a short series, to then go against Golden State. You know, and that's, I don't see any way that it's not going to be Golden State and Cleveland in the finals. And you know, I'll stick to my prediction that is going to be Cleveland. But that's going to be, like I said, must-see TV. I'm really looking forward to that. And I haven't watched a lot of basketball this NBA this year, but that's must-see. You know, that's middle of the night. You know, set the alarm clock, and you know, have the missus, you know, look at you like, why are you doing this? And this is what it's all about. And you know, these are instant. You can imagine it's going to be instant classics. And so that's where I'm at with the NBA playoffs. You know, just been kind of in holding pattern right now. You know, paying a little bit of attention at the beginning of the playoffs. You know, but you know, not quite as much. You know, I was happy to see Utah get to the second round, to the conference semifinals. A little bit a little bit sad for the Clippers, because again they're going through this again, and so now it's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens with them. You know, Indiana, you know, it was not really a surprise that they lost at all. And, you know, sweep, yeah, I could see it. But, you know, Milwaukee, it would have been interesting to see what Milwaukee would have been able to do against Cleveland. I don't think they would have necessarily been able to even beat Cleveland. But I think it would have been good for Milwaukee and those youngsters to face Cleveland in a big series, you know, to see Antetokounmpo go against LeBron. That would have been great. That would have been really fun to watch. And I probably would have watched. I probably would have gotten up to watch that, just to see him go at it full game wise. So you know, it would have been nice. You know, but Milwaukee, you know, they did take two games off Toronto, so that's good. And you know, now Boston, you know, on the doorstep to the conference finals. Washington, you know, you have to say they're kind of on the way back up. So there have been some stories, you know, for as bad as some people say the NBA season has been, you know, it's just Golden State and Cleveland and maybe a little bit, you know, Houston, whatever, MVP, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's been a couple of decent things going on out as well. So, but for me, holding pattern remains until the finals. So Adidas Next Generation, I'm going to wait till next week to talk about that. Obviously, rosters will be set by then. And The EuroLeague, I'll probably wait until next week as well to talk a little bit about that. I won't talk as much as I'll talk about the Adidas Next Generation, but I'll touch on it. I'll touch on the EuroLeague, you know, my opinions, whatever. And the German playoffs, if you're not watching, it's one heck of a interesting start to the playoffs. The three of the top four teams three of the top four teams lost their home court advantage in the first game. Ratio Farm Ulm, who won the regular season, lost in overtime buzzer by overtime to get to the buzzer beater to get to the overtime, and then buzzer beater to win the game to Ludwigsburg, MHP reason Ludwigsburg. So they took home court advantage. Those games, going game twos, are tonight, Wednesday here in Germany. And then Bamberg, Bros Bamberg lost their home court advantage in the first game to Telekom Baskets Bonn. That was basically Daniel Theis got Fabian Cassor passed to Daniel Theis and could have, you know, easily, I think it was like 1.5 seconds left, and had a layup, basically could have had an easy layup or dunk, and down one, but unable to hold on to it, and went out of bounds and turnover. So that was the loss for Bamberg. And then the fourth seed, Medi Bayreuth, lost also in the last couple of seconds to Ive Baskets Oldenburg, who then also took game two at home. So and then Bayern Munich pretty much dominated Albert Berlin. I don't think Albert Berlin are really up to the same level. Pretty much the whole year, it's been kind of that, you know, it's been the big three Bs and Ulm, and then you know, Berlin's kind of been sort of fighting to stay, you know, stick around there. So, so go check out the German playoffs, the Easy Credit BBL playoffs. There's some good action going there, and you know, if Ludwigsburg or Bonn could you know somehow hold court tonight on Wednesday and take a 2-0 lead, then you have Ulm and Bamberg both you know, having big time tests as far as taking three games in a row to reach the semifinals. Not too long ago in the past, I think it was 2011. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but 12 or 11, the all four top seeds in the German playoffs lost in the first round. And so, you know, I don't think Bayern's going to lose, but the higher seed, the lower seed, I guess, the better of the seeds, are definitely facing an uphill battle now in the shorter 5-game set, which I think is better. I think these NBA, you know, game best of seven, not only does it lengthen the playoffs that much more, but it doesn't provide for very many upsets. Which are exciting, which, you know, adds to the merit of basketball and to the excitement of it. So, all right. So that's all I'm going to talk about this week. Let's get to the interviews. Back at the Final Four, the NCAA Final Four, they had the inductions. I guess the announcement of the players who would be inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame. Connecticut, actually. It's in Connecticut. And so they had the announcements and they had the players, coaches, officials, whatever, who were then going to be enshrined in September, I believe, there. And so I had a chance to talk to a couple of the inductees and have three interviews in total. And two of them with actual people who will be inducted, and then one is sort of about the process and what he thinks about the class, and then also about one of the players who will be inducted, which was really cool to have a chance to talk to. So first, it's going to be Jerry Colangelo, who was already in the Naismith Hall of Famer, is in the Hall of Fame, and kind of touch with him because he's also on the selection committee. So to kind of get his idea, get his thoughts on the selection process, what he thinks about the class, and also ask him about Nikos Galas, who's been who was selected, and kind of get his opinion on that, just from an international basketball standpoint. Then it's going to be Rebecca Lobo, who was basically one of the first leaders of the UConn, kind of started that whole program, and so that's the second one. And then the third one will be Manny Jackson, who was used to play with the Harlem Globetrotters, and also is the former owner of the Harlem Globetrotters, and he's in the Hall of Fame already with the Globetrotters, but as part of the Globetrotters, but now this is him on his own as the former owner. It was one of the main reasons as well, but so a little bit of background on him when he took over from the Globetrotters in 93 is basically a bankrupt team, and then in 93, and then 13 years later it was worth over $100 million. So kind of get an idea of what he was able to do. He's no longer owning it. He's no longer owning the team, and have a nice chat with him. So again, the order is Jerry Colangelo, then Rebecca Lobo, and then to finish off with Manny Jackson. So enjoy those three, and we will catch you on the other side.
Mr. Colangelo, we're at the announcement of the Naismith Hall of Fame. Maybe just in general, your general thoughts about the class of this year.
I think it's a very balanced class. One of the outstanding high school coaches of all time. Nick is considered one of the great international players of all time. George McGinnis, one of the best ABA players of all time, and so on and so forth. Bill Self, Tracy McGrady, Rebecca Lobo. I mean, I can go on and on, but my point is they're here for a reason. They're here because they had great accomplishments during their career and have achieved this kind of status. And so they now join the family of Hall of Famers, which is now totals a little over 300, all enshrined at the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Mass. And as far as Nick is concerned, he's been a legend in international ball for a long, long time. So whenever his name comes up, he's considered definitely one of the elite players internationally of all time. So this was his moment. This is his time. And I know he would be very excited about it.
As someone who has also been involved in international basketball a lot with USA, what's your feeling of having a guy like that now represented in the Naismith Hall of Fame?
Well, I think it's great. There have been great international players that our fans really don't know much about, and that's because of distance. That's because people are caught up in their own world and their sphere that they live in. And so the fact that some of the international players of great renown are now being honored in the Hall of Fame, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, is a real tribute to each and every one of them.
Do you have a favorite memory of him?
I just remember him being very, very competitive. His ability to, I think, getting the experience in a collegiate sense here in the States helped not motivate him, but put him in a position and gave him a platform of being maybe a little bit of ahead of some of the international players. And so just his overall game was the impression that I think about.
Last question, maybe for you, what's it like for being on the board of the Hall of Fame, to be sort of in the decision making process, you know, taking part of it, and you know, it's obviously such a prestigious institution. What's it like to be part of the whole process?
Well, I fortunately was myself enshrined in 2004, so I went through this experience. I know how each of these individuals feel about the moment and the call and everything that really that sets in afterwards. And so to continue to be involved in the game in so many ways that I am, through USA Basketball, the Basketball Hall of Fame, Grand Canyon University, and so forth, USA Basketball, as I said, I just love it. I enjoy it. There's a passion in my heart. You know, I tell the story, at 7, I was introduced to the ball. I smelled it. I smelled the leather, and it was the beginning of a love affair that has lasted my entire lifetime. So I'm very fortunate to have been able to stay in the game.
You are going to be enshrined in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm sure you're not really used to hearing that yet, but in general, your feelings?
I'm over the moon about it. I'm so excited about. I mean, I think it's a slightly different experience for me, because I literally, the town I grew up in, Southwick, Massachusetts, is 15.3 miles away from the Hall of Fame. I was there as a kid, but never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that I could get in. Never did I even think about it. You know, like in your kid, I'd dream about hitting the game-winning shot in the NCAA championship. I never thought about a Hall of Fame. And even in the past years, it's not something that I've thought about. But then this year, when I was actually a finalist, I started to think about it, and it was like, this would be absolutely amazing. And you don't want to, you know, think about it too much, because then, yeah, because then if you don't get in, it's a bigger disappointment. But, I mean, it's a ridiculously exclusive, awesome club, and I'm thrilled that that my invitation wasn't lost in the mail.
The group that is up there with you, the group that'll be there in September, the you know, the individuals that won't be there because, you know, and try and posthumously, what's it like to go into the hall with that group?
Well, I'm really eager to get to know more of these people. I know Coach McGraw pretty well, but to not only get to know them personally, but get to know their stories. But it's clearly a solid group, not only their basketball background, but you know, they're impressive people to be around. And I've heard you get to spend a lot of time together over the weekend. I'm really looking forward to that.
Maybe your thoughts in general about the women's game. Obviously, you also played a very important role in starting up the WNBA. You know, you were one of the first big players at UConn. You know, there have been other big players that have come and followed you. Where do you see the level of the game, also internationally? Because obviously there's the EuroLeague women and EuroCup women, and a very established league there in Europe. Just in general, your thoughts about the game, of the women's game.
Women's game's in a really good place now. I mean, from the players are bigger, faster, stronger, much better than they were overall 20 years ago. We had some great players back then, but there's just a lot more of them now. You know, the WNBA's on good footing. Came from the game last night that was sold out. Two incredible women's national semifinal games. You know, my kids are involved in youth basketball, and I mean, there's so many girls' teams, so many opportunities for kids to play. So it's a really good time to be a fan of women's basketball. It's a really good time to be involved, no matter, you know, what age or level you are.
What do you think is like the next couple of things that women's basketball has to do to maintain that level?
You know, I think they're doing what they need to be doing right now, and that's putting a great product on the court, making the you know, showing how likable these women are as people off of the court, and you know, continually trying to grow the sport. This year's a little different. In the past, we would play the Final Four on Saturday and Tuesday. Sunday and Tuesday. This year, with Friday, Sunday, just to, you know, see if it has an impact on the attendance. So I think there's ideas out there. They're being being implemented, and we're going to see, you know, if we can really make it reach the masses to see if we'll ever play in a dome or you know, something like what we have here.
You mentioned the Final Four. I have to ask you, the game yesterday.
Incredible. I mean, it was one of the best Final Four games I've ever seen, the UConn game. But we had two great games. We had, South Carolina down to Stanford and come back and able to win. And then the nightcap was just, with the streak and everything that was involved, it was one of the best games I've ever seen.
We're at the announcement of the Naismith Hall of Fame inductees. You talked a little bit on the stage about your feelings, just maybe in general. What are you feeling?
Well, we were in Shrine, the Harlem Globetrotters. I was owner of them while we were in Shrine Hall of Fame, and I thought of that being a great team. And my life has always been oriented toward teams. We did this and we did that. And my feelings now are, I'm processing, how do I talk about I was in Shrine Hall of Fame? It's the greatest honor. It's something that, what's next? It's just, there's nothing, you realize all the kids playing basketball and sports, and I've seen around the world them doing it. Here we are sitting in the 300 of us in Shrine Hall of Fame. I chaired the Hall of Fame for a while, by the way, and I haven't quite felt it yet.
It'll take a while. And
I'm trying to rationalize. I'm not celebrating. I'm just trying to rationalize.
I can't imagine.
This is the kind of person I am. You know, I'm trying to rationalize. I can't yet.
When I hear Harlem Globetrotters, I think fun. I think entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's it like for you to be part of that?
Well, I bridged the time when the Harlem Globetrotters were fusing, sports and entertainment, and I think, what a job Abe Saperstein did in making people know that sports can be fun. I also lived long enough, to know when desegregation allowed people of color to be fused with other people, and the game became better because of it. So I'm thinking, we are progressing as a society, and I get too intellectual when I think about it. What else is missing here? And so my old thought is, it's time. It's time, and all these myths we operated on in the past. And also, I'm so happy to have been a part of it, both in this country and outside this country, that I feel someone must have appointed me to do this. Big responsibility to get it right.
What are some of your favorite Globetrotters moments? Just because they've been such an important part of your life?
I think I have three that stand out like crazy. Now, the first is with Pope John Paul II, when I'm at the Vatican. And he says, what is it about sports? He wanted to hear from me. 85,000 people at St. Peter. He said, I'm in front. He says, what is it about sports that allows we adults to communicate so well with children? Can we talk about that? And I'm looking at a guy and I'm saying, here's the Pope asking me this question. What's that? The other is Nelson Mandela saying something that I thought was really simple. He said, you know when a society is great when you can take it to the neighborhood of the worst in that society. If that's good, then you say society is great. If it's falling off, it's not so great. And he said, forget about the labels of democracy and socialism and capitalism. It has to do with people. And when that first segment of your population is not happy or not doing well, it's not long before they contaminate the rest of it. He said, what you're doing in basketball and sport and spreading goodwill affects everybody. I'm for you. I want you to be successful. Those are two of the most favorite.
State of the Globetrotters now, and where do you think they can? Where do you think they should go?
I bought them out of bankruptcy, and I've spent 12, 14, almost 15 years, and I work every day. And I sold them for a lot of money because I wanted the money to go to the charities and the things I'm interested in my life outside of sports. Now I'm away from it, I look back on it and say, I've told the owners of the Globetrotters, what's needed is not just another great basketball team, because there are great basketball players all over the world, and a great show. That brand is so powerful. It has the capacity to be kind of like what we're titled, the Goodwill Ambassadors of the World. Every city, every community, every state, every country, every leader wants to spend some time with the Globetrotters. That audience allows you to talk about things that are meaningful to make our country a better, society better, so yeah.
allows us also to recruit the best ball players that don't just stand and grab the groin or drink or drive big cars, but they say something intelligent about the world. And I would hope that if I were still on them, I'd say my next generation would be to get an all-star team of really incredible ball players that have the capacity to have an effect on goodwill ambassadorship.
Last question. You know, basketball has so many different facets. Maybe your favorite part of the game. I'm sure you're looking back and thinking forward and everything now a lot in the last couple of days. But your favorite part of the game?
I'll tell you what happened to me recently. I was at a fundraiser, and some guy said, "I remember when you played." And I said, yeah, see that? It's been a long time ago. He said, "No, but I heard you dunked a basketball at 50. See, I did that. He said, "I'll donate $1 million if you'll dunk a basketball for us tonight." And I'm thinking, I can't even. These things weren't programmed to do that. My favorite part of the game really was, I think the leadership that happens when the game is tight or when the game starts out and you're trying to establish momentum either through accurate shooting or playmaking or the slam dunk. But you're trying to establish this leadership over your opponent. I love that moment when you know everyone's kind of on edge and not sure where they're going to be. And you walk out of that locker room kind of sure where you're going to be. And I worked at doing that.
Fantastic.
All right. You could hear the excitement. And it was really touching to talk to those individuals, to sort of be part of this experience with them. And Tracy McGrady was in that. It's just exciting to see the people who are being recognized for a tremendous longevity and their careers. I also had a chance to go to the, I'm a member of the U.S. Basketball Writers Association, and we went to their, I had a chance to go to their awards luncheon, and there was four journalists who were put into the Writers Association Hall of Fame. And so just to listen to those guys tell their stories of covering college basketball for, like, you know, 30 up to 40 some odd years and stuff, and it's pretty fantastic. It's pretty phenomenal, and it's inspiring. It's been really cool to hear them and kind of reflect on what I've been doing here, and to kind of take that and try to take it to another level, to kind of get an idea of where my spot is in the game and in basketball and on the media landscape here. And so it's pretty exciting. And so seeing all of those great people recognized for so many great things, both as journalists and then as athletes, coaches, officials, pretty fantastic. So I hope you enjoy those interviews. I know the podcast is a little bit short today just because those interviews are also kind of short. But, you know, sometimes people will say, you know, people often tell me, you know, keep it shorter. And but, you know, the days of the long ones, I don't mind having those days either. But, you know, this is a short and tight one. But I hope you enjoyed it. And next week, again, we'll be in Turkey, Istanbul, and can't wait to be there to check out the Adidas Next Generation Tournament, and, of course, then the Euroleague Final Four, and of course, be keeping track of the NBA. Can imagine that the NBA Conference Finals will have started by then. Not 100% sure, but probably pretty darn close. So loads of stuff to watch. European domestic playoffs all over the place. And so enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week. And actually, I forgot one more thing to let you know what you're going to be listening to. The song is called Little Gray Sparrow, and it is by Karen Ellis. It's available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy it. Enjoy the basketball. And again, we'll talk to you next week.
sleepy wings for winter's heading round. Pack up the nest, leave the rest, we're gonna be alright. I'll be chasing the summer, I'm a boxcar runner, gonna be alright. I'll be home. Wherever you roam, no matter how far, wherever you go, remember that's where you are. True as an arrow, sticking to the apple tree. Said she was a tiger, you never quit fighting with the circus clowns. Love with the freedom, beach town and Eden.
My name is Jer Holden, and you are listening to Taking the Charge.